With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. I'm Pete Allison, this is Dave Cribb.
Ahoy hoy, how are we?
I'm alright, thank you, how are you?
Very well, thanks. I'm trying ahoy hoy as a greeting. Yes or no?
It's a no.
No?
It's a no.
Oh.
Not too key.
It's still better than your alternate greetings so far, which have been hello and then hello in a different tone of voice.
I just gave up on that today. I just, you know, crack on.
It's good. It's a formula that works. Shall we meet today's friend?
Yes, I'd like to do that.
I asked her how she wanted to be introduced because she's about to launch a podcast, but she said it's not actually live yet, so can you just describe me as a podcast enthusiast instead? So please welcome soon-to-be podcaster, but mainly podcast enthusiast, Lizzie Pollitt. Hi, Lizzie.
Ahoy hoy. Nah, it definitely doesn't work. Hello.
Why is everyone hating on my ahoy hoy? How are you?
I'm very well. I'm buzzing.
In general or?
No, just for this. Would it be overdramatic to say that I feel like everything in my life has been leading up until this moment?
That's not overdramatic at all.
No, it's absolutely fine and very flattering for us. We will talk about which episode you come onto in a minute, but I'd like you to first talk to... Can you tell Pete, because you texted me this yesterday, tell Pete the process for picking your episode.
Oh, yeah. So when Dave finally relented and agreed that I could come on as a superfan, he did a check and he realised I wasn't actually a serial killer. So I sat down and I did a Matrix-style scoring grid of every single Friends episode.
Wow.
Yeah, so I whittled them down to, I think, a top 20 based on the top scores. I looked at different categories such as, you know, plots, subplots, themes, comedy, etc. Got to a top 20, then I had to knock out any you'd already done. Sadly, my absolute number one, Lucy Pinder, stole.
Really?
Yeah. But the one where everyone finds out. Yeah. However,
Pinder.
So finally got there after 2 hours, and do you want me to hear what I've chosen?
This it feels like now, Pete, a very big reveal, doesn't it, based on that?
Yeah, well, like you should have some real confidence in this episode, given you've gone to such lengths.
So this is the best episode of Friends, apart from the ones we've done, sort of factually, is what you're telling us.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why in a minute, actually, when we get onto it. The scores, you know, they don't lie. you can't beat maths, as I learned at school. We're going for the one with the memorial service.
The one with the memorial service. That's season 9, episode 17. I'll do the very quick blurby read. Very short today, actually. Strangely, I think as the series went on, and we're into series 9 there, whoever's started writing these blurbs just got bored. So it's only two lines. Ross and Chandler post false information about each other on their college's alumni website, resulting in Chandler posted as being gay while Ross is dead. That's the entire plotline it's summed up there. Meanwhile, Joey and Emma fight over Joey's bedtime penguin pal Hugsy, and Phoebe asks Monica to help her get over Mike. So that's it in a very small nutshell. Before we come on to the actual episode, though, tell us, Lizzie, if you will, Friends, your relationship therewith. Obviously, quite intense based on the spreadsheet and the sort of scientific investment you've put into it. But from a young age, is it one of those?
I have so many Friends stories, I don't know where to start. But we'll start on the 22nd of September 1994, when Friends first aired in the UK. I was down the local leisure centre in taekwondo class. My sister was like, don't forget to get home for 9, this new show's starting. Hurried home, fell in love straight away. I've had many quite meaningful experiences with Friends. When when I was a teenager, I was on Nimone's Radio 1 show on a Friends quiz, which I won.
That's a big throwback to Nimone, isn't it? Big shout out to Nimone, everyone.
So yeah, I got all the questions right. I won some prizes, including the actual glitter ball in Top Loader's Dancing in the Moonlight video.
Well, the actual one?
Yeah. And a signed Eminem shirt and stuff. Anyway.
You can't move on from that so quickly.
Correct to flag.
Why was that glitter ball related to a Friends quiz? Was that just what they had knocking about?
I don't know if this is how radio works. Maybe you guys can enlighten me, but I think they were just looking at stuff they had lying around in the office. And they were
to be honest, it's not far off.
Nothing signed by any of the Friends cast, so here's a glitter. I mean,
do you do that, Pete, on Capital?
Well, to be honest, we literally do with tickets, but there's a pair of Jess Glynn tickets here. Shall we give those away? Yeah, yes, let's do that in Drive. Yeah, that's what happens.
What have you got in the studio right now to give away?
I've got a fluffy yellow pen with a pineapple at the top of it.
Is that giveawayable to our podcast listeners?
I mean, it's been used.
Who's used it?
No one famous, I don't think. We've also got a Chris Hughes calendar.
Off of Love Island.
But my colleagues decided that his crotch was too distracting, so he's been covered with a cut-out pair of jeans.
Well, it's a famously distracting crotch Chris Hughes, isn't it? If you believe all the hype.
It is quite distracting. Even knowing it's there is distracting under what they've hidden it in.
Okay, so no prizes this week, if you are listening, I'm afraid. No. So you went on the Moans Radio.
A few years ago, I mean, this is a lot of detail, but, you know, hey, it's a Friends podcast.
Yeah.
I got through to the final face-to-face round of auditions for Mastermind.
For Friends?
Yes. No, well, so you have to list 6 specialist subjects, because in case you get through all the rounds.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let me go through with Friends because they'd already done it a few times. So I had to scratch it for the OC.
That's sad.
Didn't get through. Messed up on a question about Girls Aloud. Will never forgive myself. But
what question was it about Girls Aloud? As a Girls Aloud enthusiast, I want to know if I know the answer.
Oh, well, I've sort of given the answer away, because Girls Aloud was the answer. Oh. Maybe I'll put it the other way around. Which Girls Aloud single was the official Children in Need song in... when was it? It was about 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
That would be Something New.
Yes. Yeah. You win, my
thank you.
Forever adulation.
Thank you. I'll take that.
But perhaps... oh, God, I have to just take a breath. Most excitingly, have you ever had someone on who has met a Friends cast member in the past week? In the last 4 days.
In the last 4 days? No, absolutely not. This is the thing I presume you text me about, saying, I've got an amazing friend story and I'm going to save it for the podcast.
I wanted to do a live reaction.
Yeah, okay. So this is
exciting. Is it one of the six?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's not only one of the six. It is my absolute all-time favourite, always will be and always has been. Always has been, always will be. There you go.
Which one?
Ross.
Ross Geller.
But so basically, the end of this story is I ended up trapped in a small room with David Schwimmer.
Where? Why?
Right. So last week, I was at an advertising festival, and I saw David Schwimmer was talking, and as a Friends mega fan, I thought I'd like to go and see him. But also, what he was talking about was very interesting, of course.
Yeah.
It genuinely was. So I thought, I don't want to be one of those people just hanging around at the end like a super fan, like a fangirl. Nah, I'm just going to leave it. Tried to exit the hotel, walked into the wrong room, which was this sort of big closet where they were selling t-shirts. No one else was in there, just casually looking at some t-shirts. Next thing I know, David Schwimmer and all his people come in to have a meeting, close the door, because it's the only room with aircon and a quiet place. And I'm just stood there and I'm like, no one's seen me. What do I do? 2 options. 1, slink out, just get on with my life. Or 2, have my moment. I think you can probably guess I had my moment.
So, by have your moment, do you mean seize the opportunity to talk
the day.
To David
yeah,
Schwimmer?
Exactly.
Because I'm currently imagining you as David Schwimmer when he's hiding behind Mona's couch. And you're just, as Ross is just sort of hiding there,
trying to get the salmon pink shirt.
And you're just trying to keep quiet as much as you can.
No, it was much more professional than that.
Okay.
Waited for a lull in conversation, introduced myself, had a quick chat, left the room and immediately texted everybody I know, including you.
Yeah.
And was shaking and just been on a high ever since, really.
This is astonishing.
And did he live up to expectations?
Yeah, absolutely. He was lovely, brilliant, eloquent, everything.
I think we have this conversation, as you'll know from listening to the podcast, about whether we like or hate Ross, but you've obviously answered your own question.
Oh, there. I love him.
Yeah, and Pete, you're a huge fan, aren't you? I was never a fan.
I'm pro Ross.
Never a fan growing up, but watching them back, and this is another one. There's another amazing David Schwimmer, just like facial expression in this episode we're about to talk about. He's so good.
In this episode, there are so many classic Ross lines, which I still quote to this day. Yeah.
Give us some off bat.
Oh God, like when he's like, I respectfully disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, you can. I'm not dead.
There are some. Yeah, there's really a nobody cares that I'm dead is the thing I'm thinking of. Where
nobody cares that I'm dead.
Amazing sort of double take facial expression. Oh, it's brilliant. Anyway, let's crack on with the actual episode, shall we?
Great.
Yes. It's a very strong Ross one. It's got Ross in it. It's the one with Ross's memorial service. Okay, where would you like to start, Lizzie Pollock? Would you like to start with Ross's memorial service, Joey and Hugsy, or Phoebe, Mike and Monica and Manny?
Let's start with Joey and Hugsy because it's actually quite close to home.
Is it? I was going to say that is... So, I don't want to undermine what you've just said in case this really holds a special place in your heart. But basically, the first thing I've written down for Joey and Hugsy is really, really weak plotline. very poor, isn't it? A man argues with a toddler over a cuddly toy.
It's not so much that it's a weak plotline, because I think it's quite memorable. It's more that, you know, you talk often about them just making out Joey to be the dumbest human on earth.
Yeah.
I feel like this has peaked here.
Yeah.
Because all they can think to do with him is that he doesn't want to give a child a cuddly toy.
Right.
And that's it. But it displays lots of brilliant acting and lots of facets of Joey, which I love. Like when he's like, Joey's home, look who he's brought with him. And Rachel's like, I told you not to bring girls home in the middle of the day anymore. I was like, oh.
Is this after Joey and Rachel, have ended it? It's gone by then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think, if Rachel had any attraction for Joey, it would be gone, after this all happened. Because Joey is so childish and pathetic, any attraction she had to him must have gone.
It's a testament to Matt LeBlanc that he can act opposite a two-year-old to such a level. He plays it really well. But I just, for me, it's a weird plotline, I think. Joey and Hugsy in general as a thing, I find a very strange thread throughout Friends.
You say this, and he's going to kill me for revealing this, but the reason why I find it so funny is because my boyfriend loves penguins. A normal amount. Right, I love him a normal amount. But we actually have two at home, Dave and Pete.
Hang on.
Oh my God, they're called Dave and Pete.
Are you joking?
Are they actually?
No, I'm not joking.
You were joking.
No, I just realised. So we have Dave the doorman, because he's a doorstop. He's a big penguin who keeps the bathroom door open.
So just for clarification, not real penguins, yeah?
No.
Fine.
Could you imagine? Yeah. I wish. No, they are toys. And then Pete is an emperor penguin from London Zoo.
So you have two penguins called Dave and... This, Pete.
I've just realised.
What the fuck?
I know.
We've uncovered the level of Lizzie's fandom.
No. We called them that before you guys came into my life.
It's just not plausible.
So if you're asking if it's highly normal for two grown adults to, have cuddly penguins, I'd say 100%.
So would you, if a toddler took a fancy to one of your penguins, would you go so far as to deprive them of that for your own happiness?
Well, obviously, no kid's getting a hand on Dave or Pete. Oh my God, this sounds weird now.
Which one would you be more willing to give up, Dave or Pete?
Dave, because he came later to the party.
Sad, isn't it, mate?
It also is really heavy because he's a doorstop, so it's really hard to lug him around. Not that I take them out of the house, just to be clear.
I'd be a great doorstop.
So that's why I think I have an affinity with this plotline.
Do you know what? That's absolutely fine. And I will look upon that in a different light every time I watch this now, because I've never really been on board. And this episode is the one, isn't it, where this is implied that Joey stole Hugsy originally from another child.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really nice moment.
Which is a really nice line. But also it's again one of those things where you just go behind the curtain, you go, ooh, if that were true, how dark and disturbing.
There are a couple of moments in this plotline where they sort of play with your expectation of where a line is going. Like that one with where he got the penguin from, and there's also the look at you sleeping like an angel with Emma's chubby little hands around you.
There's a couple of nice
Joey lines in it.
But for me, that's the brilliance of Friends, because so often they take the joke even further than you thought they ever would or they ever could.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's another moment in this episode when we'll probably get onto it in a minute, but right at the very beginning where he's like, oh, she'll probably sleep with you now, and then Ross is like, no, I already asked her.
Yeah.
Like, it could have just stopped.
Let's move on to Phoebe and Mike, shall we? So, the premise
of
this...
I like Mike.
I love Mike.
Mike is such a likeable character in Friends in general, isn't he? And you're always rooting for Mike.
I like Mike so much that I don't even have a problem with him being quite prominent in the final episode, because there's that one scene when they're all stood around the kitchen and he stood there with Phoebe, and I would have thought that bothered me, but no, it's like, Mike, no, you've earned this, Mike. You enjoy your moment.
That's a really good point, isn't it, actually? Because if you took that from the sort of first episode and you went, right, by the end, it'll just be these six plus another dude that comes in like two series to the end.
Yeah.
Like the TV fan in you would be like, no way, that's going to ruin it. But no, he really embeds, doesn't he? They must have really... like been thrilled when they struck on Mike. So in this plot line, so Phoebe tasks Monica with stopping her from calling Mike. That's right, isn't it? So they've just broken up.
Yeah.
And so Monica confiscates all of Phoebe's phones and oh, we get the amazing old cell phone.
It reminds me of a simpler time.
Which is just... I refuse to believe, even though I know it's true, that those phones existed. They just... At what point would that be more convenient than...
Where'd you put it?
Right. You just
you have to hang it around your neck, like
you were carrying that phone around. It's the size of a handbag, right?
Yeah,
like the entire bag,
a clutch.
Probably bigger than a clutch. And if you were just having to carry that around, you just walk to a building and find a phone.
Also, that moment where Monica's like, "Give me your cell phone," and Phoebe just goes into that cupboard and finds that relic straight away. If that was my house, it would take about an hour. You'd go under the bed, you'd go into the back cut, you wouldn't find it.
Yeah, it was
like,
very
just
quick.
Just happened to be lying here.
Yeah. Also, Monica buys Phoebe's explanation that she just has it to remind her of a simpler time, because Monica then puts it in her bag as if she thought, okay, yeah, it's feasible that that would actually be.
Oh, does she put it in her bag to confiscate it?
Yeah, she puts it straight in her bag. Yeah,
that's very funny. The other thing I really enjoyed about that moment was when she actually finds her real cell phone and Phoebe puts it down her pants, and then Monica like picks her up by the waist from behind and shakes the phone down the leg. And at just that moment, I went, oh, shout out to the flares. You couldn't do that in today's skinny jean era, could you?
But also, it was a flip phone, which is fatter than the phones these days. So, you know,
yeah, there's
a lot of room down there.
A lot of logistical problems there. But they both had very wide-legged trousers on.
Oh, sure. I mean, some Friends fashion. You should just do a whole essay on Friends
fashion.
Well,
this is the problem with it being a podcast. And we've referred to it in the past, haven't we, Pete? There was that one screenshot we put on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. Of the like astonishing outfits. But I really feel maybe we should do like a video podcast version one week where we just go over the fashion, because it is really... we miss a lot of visual stuff.
Maybe the live show, am I right?
Maybe the live show.
We could do a catwalk show. Yeah. We could bring in some relics.
Can
like
you
a Friends
get David
fest?
Schwimmer
100%
to come along.
Dave, remember me? No,
that's your task now. That's your task. Anyway, so Mike eventually comes over. There's some like slightly eggy moment in this bit. Did you notice?
Well, like what?
Like Mike's line about... Monica says, this doesn't involve you. And Mike delivers that line of like, oh, I guess I was thrown off by the mention of my name. And it's like a really...
chill out, Mike.
Really weak line. It's like, as a comeback, like it's such a sassy delivery. It's like, not a good line, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, but there's another line in this bit which I still use every time I get a takeaway. 1 billion Chinese people and they send Mike. What are the chances? Oh, my accent's dreadful.
You've been doing that ever since Lizzie arrived, Pete, to the studio. She has been just talking in that sort of faux American Friends accent.
It's difficult to quote Friends without doing some sort of half-hearted accent.
Yeah, English people can't quote Friends.
Nah.
Terrible. Unless you're quoting Emily, but no one would ever want to do that.
Oh, God,
she
don't
is
get
the
me
worst.
Or Jennifer Saunders.
Oh, yeah. All the sort of London lot, I guess. Yeah.
Richard Branson, Fergie.
English accents are really jarring in Friends,
they really are.
Yeah.
Like even those people that you mentioned who have genuine English accents, they sound fake.
So Monica here is the worst, isn't she? She, like, if someone acted like this in real life, when she's like sat between them on the couch, it's so awful. But great intentions, but you would hate her, wouldn't you?
Also, did they run out of plot lines? Because wasn't there another episode where Monica had to play like protector to Rachel?
Yes, that is right.
Like, and stop her from... No, she was trying to stop her stealing her thunder.
No, Monica was controlling Rachel's decisions,
oh,
is that right?
It.
When
yeah.
she was going to try and get back with Ross.
Yeah, you're right.
No, but it's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Recycling.
So Monica's refereeing this thing, and then suddenly in bursts Manny.
Manny.
Big shout out to Manny, who apparently arrived from the 70s.
What? I mean, I looked up that guy to see if he'd been anything else.
Nah,
he hasn't really.
Nothing.
What was going on with the styling there, hair? He looks like his hair looks like Sally Field in like a late 90s.
Mrs. Doubtfire, Sally
Weepy.
Field.
Yeah. Yes, it's Mrs. Doubtfire. His clothes are, from a 70s charity shop. And so when Monica just says, you're weird, I was like, Did they have to put that line in after they'd seen Wardrobe? Because they were like, we're going to have to reference it, guys. Yeah. That he looks like, I don't know.
I often wonder, like, how much control they have over Wardrobe for that sort of part. And I kind of wonder sometimes, they just go, whatever you're in, lads, chuck a bit of makeup on his face and put him on. Do you know what I mean? Do you reckon the actor, maybe that's just what he turned up in? Because it jars so much. With, even, I mean, even in the dreadful, dreadful world of Friends fashion, that was awful, right? The brown leather jacket and the sort of floral patterned shirt. I'm
pretty sure the production budget on Friends could have stretched to a few extra outfits for that guy.
Yeah.
No, but also the fact that would be Mike's best friend. And also on those classic things, someone like Denise.
Yeah.
Although Denise was mentioned before, by the way.
Denise.
Suddenly Mike's got a best friend that, you know, we never heard of, we'll never see again, obviously.
He wasn't at the wedding, was he?
Wasn't at the wedding, no.
When Mike and Phoebe get married, where's Manny? Surely the best man.
Sorry, I think we all know that none of their friends are ever at their parties or gatherings. No. It's just random, extras.
Yeah, and it's that level of detail that makes me wonder if they hadn't actually got a costume for Manny. Because if they can't be asked to just book some of their friends for parties regularly. Yeah, Ugly Naked Guy, as we've previously talked about, is the same guy. He appears twice, like five seasons apart, and it's the same actor.
Hang on. Oh, no, I was getting confused. Ugly Naked Guy is still alive in real life, isn't he?
I think so, but it's always hard to tell, isn't it, Pete? Is Ugly Naked Guy alive?
Yeah, we've experienced that a couple of them are dead.
Usually the old ones, though, isn't it, that were, like, old at the time.
I'm currently Googling, just for full disclosure, I'm currently Googling the person that plays Manny.
Yeah, what's his name?
Jim Slavin, is it?
Jonathan Slavin.
Oh, close.
That is close.
He does have a Wikipedia page, and he has had standard guest roles in, like, Grey's Anatomy, ER... There's also a line about his personal life. He's a vegan and an animal rights activist with a large menagerie of adopted pets.
He's an animal rights activist whose only appearance on mainstream television that anyone remembers is him in a leather jacket.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
There seems to be some sort of article linked to it detailing which pets he has, which even I'm not interested enough to click on.
I wonder how many hits that article had.
Life's too short to click on a friend's extras, really animals. Maybe we've gone too deep.
We've gone too deep, guys. Let's cut off Manny. There are a few other guest stars in this episode as well, aren't they? Mainly to do with the memorial service,
which we'll come
on to in a minute.
But can I just say, the only thing about, I love Mike because I love Paul Rudd and all that. Sometimes he is maybe slightly wet, dare I say it?
Mm.
And you know that line where he's like, if I'd known the last time I saw you would be... And then when it's like, kiss him, you rude! Oh, I'm like, no, that would put me off. Could you imagine?
Yeah, and also there's a line slightly earlier where Phoebe says... I mean, their conversation for the people that are in love is appalling. She's like, how's the piano playing going? He's like, I have been playing a lot of love songs recently. It's like, oh, God, what a dreadful, dreadful conversation.
Well, I can't believe we haven't even mentioned, like, the opening of that whole storyline is when Monica's like, well, what would you usually be doing at 4 p.m. in the afternoon? And Phoebe's like, well, please. I'm like, this show sometimes. It's like, guys, come on. First of all, again, not at work.
No.
Why is no one at work? And seriously, everyone's 4 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Banging on a Tuesday afternoon. Absolutely fine.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, the memorial service.
Oh, the good stuff.
The title plot line. Oh, so much to talk about. But the first thing I'd like to flag up is in the opening, there's a couple of strange things about the... Because this is the cold open of the episode, right?
Yeah.
Before the titles. Chandler's in a two-piece tracksuit. Did anyone notice
gray
that?
Grey tracksuit.
Grey tracksuit.
I didn't notice
and
that.
And he wears two different tracksuits in this episode. That's all he wears. It's astonishing. Someone's obviously in wardrobe. Maybe it's the same person that styled Manny has gone, guys, I've got some great new ideas for Chandler. I'm thinking he's a tracksuit guy now.
He's moved on from sweater vests.
But on that note, Matt Perry looking very good in this episode.
He is looking
very good. Not either way, you know. We know he goes through a sliding scale. He's looking great.
Yeah, he's in good shape here, Matthew Perry. And maybe it's because he's been working out in his tracksuit.
In his tracksuit.
Who knows? But the main thing, that I and this is season 9, so this is like early 2000s. It's 2003.
13th of March.
They really look... Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it is as well, Pete. She's named the actual babe that's aired. I'm just astonished, even by 2003, how uncomfortable they look with computers.
Oh yeah,
like computers never really come up in Friends. They come up very early when Chandler's or Joey's on that really old laptop when he's in Janice era. Yeah, exactly. With the note and all of that. And then they're just never on a computer. They're all just sat around the telly.
Nah.
You never see any of them. And then when they are on a computer, I just don't believe they know how computers work.
But computers always look like those. Do you remember when you were a kid and your mum would get you a Fisher Price, first computer that didn't actually work?
Yeah, exactly.
But the weird thing about that one in the episode, the one with Chandler's, when he makes the list, is a really old, really rubbish computer, but can print at the touch of a button.
We still can't do that now.
Hey, presto.
We still cannot print now.
Where I work, you want to print right, give me an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Work out where the paper is now.
It prints within a microsecond of impressing it. But there's like in this episode, they're doing things like, when Joey presses send on the thing, he just like reaches down and hits a button in an old school.
Send.
Yeah, that's not how computers work. No. And also later on, when he proposes about the memorial service, and Ross goes, "Oh, and I accidentally sent that gay picture of you." That's not how websites work.
No, that isn't how.
What's he send that as, like a post with? I don't know. Nobody on the Friends writing team has apparently ever really used a computer.
Yeah, but what I find interesting is Friends. You can watch Friends all day long, and in many ways, it doesn't really feel that old. It feels like it could be now, right? The dialogue, well, apart from some things which I'll get onto in a minute. But as always with these shows, it's the tech that ages it.
Yeah.
The TV that Joey watches, the phones, etc.
Yeah.
There's that moment when Ross is describing the website he's on and he's like, I can communicate with people that I used to go to school with. And you can talk to each other and send comments to each other. It's like,
Friends Reunited.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a real shout out to Friends Reunited, wasn't it? I presume the thing you're alluding to, the problems, is the next portion of the storyline. So Ross is doing it and they post this thing about him, the fake thing about, I have sex with dinosaurs.
And then
Ross retaliates with a problematic...
Yeah. So often with Friends now, that the other thing that ages it for me are there things that you would just... I just can't believe they even said back then. I mean, I know it was, 2003 this was. Mm. But I'm just like, in what world is it all right to be like, you know, saying that someone's gay is like a big deal and like it's on a website.
But it's
and
like
stuff.
Hilarious. It's like, ha ha ha, practical joke, and you're gay.
And you know, I don't really want to go into it, but all the stuff that Ross does with Photoshop, I'm just like, no, guys, this isn't cool. Like, just some of the views in that show, you're like, there's another episode where I think, you know, Joey, when he's living with Elle Macpherson, with Janine.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's wearing moisturiser, he's putting a bit of makeup on. It's like, oh, Joey, what are you doing? I'm thinking, no, that's not cool.
That's
like,
fine, isn't
we're
it?
All right to embrace all those sides of our personality now. That is one thing that massively aged it, and I have a problem with it.
As the podcast residential homosexual.
Yeah. Residential or resident?
Shall I say that again? That's what I meant. Not residential. I don't live here.
I'm the sort of more commercial homosexual. And you're like the residential one.
Let me say that again.
No, I'm not cutting that out, mate.
As the podcast resident homosexual, the one thing that I had all the problems that you just mentioned, Lizzie, of course, and how that's aged very badly. But there's also one moment where Chandler says that people have been calling to congratulate him all day on coming out. No one called me to congratulate me when I came out.
I love that the problems you have with that are so much different.
Yeah, people just ask like, oh, when did you know? No, like, congratulate me. This is my moment.
Do you look back on you coming out and wish that you'd sort of had that like almost bar mitzvah style celebrations with everyone calling and coming to a big party?
Well, I came out during uni and I did a journalism degree. And as you can imagine, news travelled fast around a group of journalism students that there was some gossip. So... yeah, I sort of came back for third year of uni and bang, everyone knew.
It does lead, for all its problems, to an excellent line about the gay community is a lot more vocal than the dead community.
Yeah.
Which is great. And maybe it's all worth it just for that, guys.
If you swap out all the things we have problems with, it's an excellent, brilliant piece of writing and a great comic storyline.
Yeah, right. So Chandler then kills off Ross as his retaliation. fine. You know, they're just escalating it. That's absolutely
I'm
fine.
Dead.
Yeah, the I'm dead reveal is such a brilliant way of sort of sending that up to the maximum level it possibly could.
And so young.
And that, like I said before, there's that amazing double take where he goes, nobody cares that I'm dead. And then there's like a double take look to camera almost. And it's brilliant bit of acting. But then, like, I felt like we almost got through an entire episode of Friends without Ross going insane. And then it was just like the Mad Ross alarm, and he throws himself a memorial service.
And what a way to do it. That pan, you know, when it's the setup for the table, and there's that frame picture of Ross, and there's some croissants with some cheese in the middle, and he just pans away. I'm just like, brilliant.
My first question about this was, I've been to a few funerals, not loads, because, you know,
keep it light.
Touch wood, yeah. But, you know, I've been to the handful. I've never been to what they appear to be throwing, which was a sort of funeral house party. Like, they're always at, like, a crematorium, or at least in some sort of function room. But they were just like, oh, we'll just get some beers in, get the nibbles in, and see who wants to pop round. And even looking past the fact that tragically, literally two people, not even the rest of the friends were there for, like, moral support. Like, Gunther doesn't pop up. But what is it? It's like a weird, like, death house party.
And no family members.
No family members.
Would it be too dark to say that when I die, I'd quite like to have a Ross-style memorial service?
Just in an apartment.
If my next of kin are listening, yeah.
Do you mean actually died, or died in inverted commas like Ross does? Are you going to surprise your family with a...
I mean, I love Friends, but I'm not going to go to the lengths of actually staging my own death. No, when I do actually die, yeah, friend picture up, put some croissants, invite some old school colleagues.
But yeah, it's a bit bleak, isn't it? No one turns up. Only two people. One horny gay dude who just wants to
hit
on Chandler.
That's a brilliant moment though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, can I ask you, how do you shave your beard so close?
Yeah. There's a whole sequence, isn't there, where it's just implied Monica is a man.
I also love the Chandler line of, oh, don't worry about him. He's
in a bad mood.
Yeah. Did either of you recognise him? It's a real niche one. And I'm,
no.
Because I was like... I'm not sure I recognise him from this thing. I can't remember. His name was Tom Gordon on The Thing, and yeah, I can't remember what his real name is. But he had a recurring role in the Mary-Kate and Ashley sitcom Two of a Kind, which was on Nickelodeon.
It's niche.
And I was like, is that where I know him from? Because I'm a bit worried.
Did you used to watch that?
Well, occasionally. It was just on, you know. In the sister-sister sort of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Clarissa Explains at all times.
But this is my favourite thing about TV, is these little bit parts, characters that pop up everywhere. Yeah. Lost was very good at this. Lost has so many people that, like, there's about 20 people that were in ER and then were in Lost, like, as little minor characters. I love it.
Well, the woman that plays Corey Weston, who turns up later, was in Casino Royale.
Yeah, and The 100 and
really?
Gotham.
Yeah, she's been in loads. Yeah. She's absolutely smashing it. So she turns up, and then we have the big reveal where Ross runs out, which is like Ross.
I'm not dead. And the way he runs, that sort of little skit.
It's completely joyous, isn't it, when he runs out?
But also, who, just on Corey Weston, who sees something online and goes, well, that guy I once fancied is dead. I should definitely go to his memorial service. Because now is the time to tell everyone.
To tell his sister,
you know,
in this time of grieving.
Yeah, why not?
Probably really fancied it.
I think, Corey, what are you doing?
I'd have had a go on your brother if he wasn't dead. God. Sorry about that. Should we do the quiz?
Let's do the quiz.
Oh, man.
Let's do the quiz. Okay, question one. In the aforementioned two-piece tracksuit that Chandler's wearing in the opening scene, what brand is the tracksuit?
That is so much harder than any question you've ever given any person on this podcast.
They're really hard today, actually, because it just depends on the episode of, like, how specific a detail has come up.
Okay, I feel like it's Puma.
It is Puma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you knew that, didn't you?
Nah, well, I've just seen it a lot of times.
It's another one of those things where there's very little product placement in Friends, sort of casually. It's really, like, blatant when there is it. And that was just a casual Puma tracksuit.
But also... there's that bit where Monica is sat between Phoebe and Mike, and she's got this branded water bottle just sat there.
Really?
And I'm thinking, did they do a deal?
Yeah.
Weird.
Very strange.
You do really notice it.
Question two, what happened to Andrea Rich?
Well, two things happened. Her internet company went under, and she lost an ear in a boating accident.
That's astonishing.
Literally word for word what I've got written
down. That is astonishing. Fair play to you. Okay, now we're up. So you're two out of two, even though you've moaned about the difficulty of it so far.
I wasn't moaning, I was just remarking.
Question three. What is the name of the professor that Chandler said he wouldn't accompany to Key West?
Professor Stern.
Wow, that's astonishing. You might be on track to equal our best.
Don't, because I'm going to ruin it and then I'm going to cry.
Right, question four. What number is Phoebe's apartment?
Oh, Lord.
There is quite a long scene where the door is left open with Mike stood in the doorway and it's visible.
Oh, no, I'm not going to get 5 out of 5. Oh, God, I'm going to say 4, but it's not.
So, it's number 16.
I think that's a really hard question.
It's a really hard question.
I'd like that reviewed. Go on.
There's an extra level to this question.
Oh, God.
Because it is a continuity problem.
Oh, does it change?
Because in a previous episode...
Oh, she lived at a different number.
She lived at number 4. Do you remember the episode where...
What number what?
14.
Oh, so close.
Sorry. They find the cell phone.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Another cell phone-centered episode with the sexy older guy.
Yeah. And when they're on the phone giving the address out, right. She says, I live at number 14. But on the door is 16. Strange things to just not pick up on if you work on Friends.
I just think no one cared. They couldn't bother to buy an outfit for Manny, so why would they care to like check the continuity on that?
Quite right. And question 5, to get 4 out of 5. What are the 3 suggested conversations Monica offers for Phoebe and Mike when she leaves them alone?
Mucus, fungus, and the idea of me and Ross doing it.
Correct.
So, again, weird.
Mucus, fungus, and incest is basically what she said there. There are 3 things to chat about. Awful.
Also her imagination, because when she sat between them, she's like, on the way here, I saw a drunk guy throw up and then a pigeon ate it. Yeah. I'm like, Monica, come on.
Just be a bit more normal.
Ugh.
4 out of 5 is not bad, though, is it?
I want to recount. Don't think that was a fair question.
It doesn't.
Got any more? Throw some more. Come on.
No, do you know what? I think that was it. They were specific, but I didn't do any extras this week. So
you've done yourself proud there. You've done yourself.
Yeah, that's still an admirable effort.
And effort.
You've been stumped by a difficult one, and you've got a couple of difficult ones as well. I think Andrea Rich is pretty admirable, to be honest.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, means a lot.
Hey, Lizzie Pollitt, thanks so much for coming on Friends with Friends.
Thank you for having me. It's been a dream.
A joy to have you on. We shall say goodbye. Goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
All the best, everybody else. Bye.